Parler, your premier uncancelable free speech platform, is back. Big tech tried to limit you to their mediocre social platforms, and they failed. Go to Parler.com or download the app and join the uncensored conversation. Parler, speak freely.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed on this 29th day of June. Only one more day left in June, folks. This is, wow. This summer is flying by. Is it me, or is this summer just flying by? 2022, and tonight, again, like we have on the board, he is, well, he's courageous. Not outrageous, and he's not contagious, but he is courageous. Courageous. What is his name again? Oh, I know, Craig.
Good evening, everybody, and I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Alrighty, and we have way out yonder that country preacher, that backroads parson, none other than Parson Joe Larson.
Oh, just simply a child of the kingdom, and forever I am. Welcome, glad to be here.
And me, their humble hero. So, alrighty, Joe, before we get started tonight, I've got some good news, and for you folks out there listening, we looked at in just 9 days from now, 1 week from tomorrow, we were scheduled to have to cut three stations. And here, Joe, we got a response from the people. We really got a response from the people. I had letters. Tomorrow morning as we go to our prayer meeting, we'll have a big stack, a foot high of letters that we get in prayer requests. And we answer them. We split them up, take them, we pray over them. But last week's was, please don't go off the air, please. Please don't go off the air. We're praying for you. We're praying that you'll stay on. And then, Joe, the phone calls we got there at the church, unbelievable, the amount of phone calls, but anyhow, the forces to be, we took this, and I started negotiating, and I spent a good part of my life trying to negotiate, because it's the people's money, and we are very frugal with the people's money. And we came up, and we have an agreement. Now here was the tough part, because I didn't think this. Remember we said we were going to pray for a miracle? Joe, what happens the very minute you tell them we're going to have to go off to the station? What do they do?
People start to call in and ask you not to go off. Please don't go off.
No, I'm talking about the stations. The stations that you say, okay, I'm going to have to go off.
To find a replacement and sell the time slot.
Right. And they want to be able to shop a little bit and to find out where they can get those that would pay for the most of that time, because you're talking about 2 hours there, and they can split that up, and if they split it up into like half hour segments, they get a lot more for the money.
Make a lot more money than having the 2 hour time slot.
And so that happened, and I knew I was really going to be up against it, really. That when I said we needed a miracle, that's what we needed, a miracle to turn that around after that got started. And so the people responded, and they responded big time. We probably got more from Tampa in 1 week than we've had in the last month and a half or 2 months. San Diego really came through. Atlanta increased, but at Atlanta, we're going to really have to work. You folks out there in Atlanta, the others are holding you up. You've got to really, we do the best we can, but we can only do so much. And I tell you, another station, too, that was in real danger, and I didn't even mention that, Joe, was Denver. Denver was in real danger, too. And so, but anyhow, folks, we asked for a miracle. Money came in, and I negotiated. We talked with the manager, and listen, these people at Salem, I got to say, look, they've been over backwards for us. And it's mutual. And the reasoning, Joe, is one, because of the timing. Remember about Salem, when the Republican Party refused to promote the 2,000 mules. When Fox News... When Fox News refused, they betrayed us. The Republican Party betrayed us. Fox News betrayed us when they refused to promote the 2,000 mules. The truth. But Salem, knowing they're probably going to pay a price, they said, no, we got to tell the truth. And that's why when they came to us and they said that our radio program is unique in the sense that we always take you and we show you how what is happening today in current events, how the application is right from God's Word, the Bible. The Bible's on top of it. The Bible's way out ahead of it. And we understand that. We understand, Joe, the power of the Word of God, and we understand the absolute truth, unwavering truth in the Word of God. And so here, this is why we make things... If you can't make the application apply to our days, that we're living in, to our lives, then it's good to have history lessons, but that won't get you through these days, will it?
No, it certainly won't. That's what the trouble is. So many pastors out there do not take the events that are happening in people's lives and go to Scripture to see what God has to say about it, and that's why they're in the dark.
Well, Joe, so many pastors out there are not saved. The vast majority in the pulpits are not saved. Now, right now today, the Southern Baptists, we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, but the Southern Baptists have taken another far step to the left, and they are going more and more apostate there. They've decided to start ordaining women. And you see, it's like, well, this is a minor issue. It's not the most important. The most important issue, in other words, look, we can compromise the Bible somewhat. We can compromise it somewhat. We're not asking for your whole arm, just a little finger. And so we're going to talk about that.
God is not big on compromise. From the way I read Scripture, He's quite direct. He says what He means, and He means what He says.
And one of the biggest culprits in this is Rick Warren. And so we're going to go, Joe, we're going to do that tomorrow night. So,
right.
So anyhow, I want to tell the folks out there, listen, folks, help us on this. I stuck my neck way out.
Short, we need the listeners on those stations like Tampa and San Diego to keep donating, talk to friends, family, your acquaintances, get them to listen. And we've got a chance to keep those stations, but it's not a sure thing. Donations picked up, but we still have to be able to pay the bill. And if it was just a one-time, everybody got excited and did something once, we won't be able to stay on the station.
But, Joe, that's the point. The point is we've got to try to hear from the people early, and that'll be good. The response was tremendous. We probably doubled what we normally got from the people, which really pulled us through this thing. But so, folks, we need to try to get it in early. When you get your I know many of you out there, several thousand, get the newsletter. When you get that newsletter in that return envelope, try to get it to us as quick as you can, so that way we can gauge when we're getting towards the end of the month how much more we have to go for, how much more we have to get. Because, you know, it's an everyday battle here. And again, we're not paid for doing this at all. It costs us money to do this, but it's the cause. And that's why we're out there. This is the cause. First, the cause of Christ. Second, the cause of freedom. And that's why we're here and doing this.
It was a gift from God, and it's a pretty precious gift. And if we don't take care of it, we will lose it, and it will be our own fault.
All righty. Okay, Joe, we got to get into our scripture tonight. And we're going to be picking it up in Revelation chapter 3. Remember, the title of the message was The Seed of the Serpent and the Enemies of Christ and His Church. And we're going to pick it up now in Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to look at some enemies of Christ and His Church here in Revelation 3, verses 9 and 10. Would you go ahead and read 9 and 10?
Sure. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Okay, now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 9 how that these people he was referring to were the seed of Abraham. They were the seeds of Abraham, but they were not the children of Abraham.
Of Abraham, right.
Okay, and it means that, in other words, these were the people that rejected Christ and would reject his church. Now, here, the Lord Jesus is saying the same thing right here. In other words, they have Jewish names, and like, for example, George Soros, Chuckie Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Bill Maher, Mark Zuckerberg. They have these Jewish names, and they may be the seed, but they're not the children. They are antichrist. They are very, very antichrist. These people are filled with death. They love death. They hate God, and they love death. And these are the people that promote everything that God calls an abomination and a sin. He says this, I will make them come to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What do you think that hour of temptation is, Joe?
That's going to be the great tribulation. He calls it the hour of temptation, or the hour of temptation, but it's the tribulation because it happens worldwide and judgment comes to the whole world. And because it's said to try them that dwell upon the earth, the whole earth. But we, those that are born again, the children of God, the true children, will be spared because we have been faithful.
Okay, Joe.
The, punishment.
Okay, so you see, Joe, the last two churches out of the seven churches, church six and seven here, are the churches that are prevalent just prior to the rapture of the church.
Sure.
So,
right.
And we see that the rapture take place there in Revelation 4. So now, here, we see the the Obedient Church or the Church of Philadelphia. Now, which church is that today? Which church that is present today that is the Obedient Church?
Be the Unregistered Church.
The Unregistered New Testament Bible-Believing Church, huh?
Right.
Those that hold to the Word of God. Not those that compromise. Not those that say, well, look, you know, we do believe in Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Savior. But a woman's got a right to choose, too. Or we believe that God is tolerant and he accepts LGBTQ. Is that the true church?
No, because that is not what Christ said. The true church follows the teaching of Christ. And he made it quite plain what he thought of sodomy.
Okay, so the true church is a church that holds to the Word of God, where Christ and Christ alone is their head. Not the government, but Christ and Christ alone is their head. That's the true church. Now, here,
I'm going to say we did another way. We are the lively stones, the living stones that are built upon the cornerstone, which is Christ, and the living stones build a living church that worships a living, risen Lord. That's another
okay.
way to put it, right?
Right. So here now, the last church is the lukewarm church that he's referring to, and that's the church, right, that's the prosperity church. Now, if you take a look at the prosperity church, Rick Warren, we just mentioned Rick Warren, he would be one. And wait till you hear what we...
The business model. He has a business model. That's not a church. When you have a business model, you have a business, right?
Right. And what did T.D. Jakes say? I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait. I want to get... what does Joel Osteen say? Live the good life now.
Now, yeah.
Get your treasures here on earth. Get your treasures here while you're on earth. How does that coincide?
Lay up your crowns and treasures in heaven, and they will be there when you arrive, is what God says.
So then, they're saying the important thing is material things, but God's Word, the Bible, says, no, that's not it. You lay up your crowns in heaven, because what's going to happen to all the material things that Joe Osteen and Rick Warren and T.D. Jakes and Brett Fodaller, all of these things they acquire, what will eventually happen to them all?
It will go bye-bye. It will be destroyed.
Okay, so...
Take it with you when you go, either to heaven or hell, right?
Right. And so we see how they've compromised the Word of God in so many different ways. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It's very, very important that people understand this, okay? The Bible doesn't stutter. And if you're in one of these churches, like the Church of Laodicea, one of the prosperity churches, the Word of God says, come out from amongst them and be you separate from them, okay? And he tells them to repent. He tells them to repent. And if they repent, okay, here's what he says. I rebuke and chasten thee. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Okay, so now he's telling them that he's outside the church. He's not in the church. He's outside the church.
Right, right.
And he's telling them to repent. And so let's go now.
Right now, the real church is the living body of the believers, and Christ dwells in every living born-again Christian through the Holy Spirit. So it is truly a living church, and he is in all of it. He is not outside. He is in every born-again believer.
Okay, so what degree of sin does God accept?
He doesn't accept sin. The wages of sin is death, period. There were no exceptions here, like in the law. They love in the letter of the law to have all kinds of loopholes and exceptions, and God didn't put any in there at all. But the only salvation we have is God forgives sin. Through the shed blood of Christ, our sins have been washed away and our sins have been forgiven. It's like God has a giant eraser for those of us that repent. The sins are erased as though they never happened.
Okay, so I'm going to read you a verse or two here. I beseech you, Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, now he's telling you that that's our reasonable service, to use our bodies in a way that's holy and clean and acceptable. Now, see,
back to the church. We build the church. You've got to have a clean church. And if we're the living stones, we have to be clean, right?
Okay, so see, Joe, if you can find any contradiction in this next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but as you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now, when he says, and be not conformed, does he mean like, be not 40% conformed or 50% conformed?
It means be not conformed at all.
So none at all. None at all.
None
okay.
At all.
One of the things that I used to get criticized for, and I remember a woman calling in live on the radio and screaming. She says that I can't stand with you. There's no gray. Everything's black and white. And I said, is your argument with what I just said? She said, yeah. I said, well, then your argument is not with me, it's with the Word of God. Your argument is with the Word of God. Okay? And so you're yelling at you're angry with the message, but so you're yelling at the messenger, aren't you? And, you know, with the mindset of these people out there today, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and start with verse 24.
And 24 and through what, 32?
All the way through the end, yeah.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Now, you just described the platform of the Democratic Communist Party. You just,
pretty much.
That's their platform. We're up against a hard break. We'll be
murder.
We'll be back right after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back.
and the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Really sad news late last night. My father's golf buddy and friend of 25 years and his life insurance guy was playing hockey with his son and had a massive heart attack out of nowhere and died. They could not save him. This was a 50-year-old man, very healthy, no prior health conditions. He was not sick. He did not have COVID. He was double vaxxed and boosted recently. He was a very big advocate for the COVID-19 vaccines because he just wanted to get back to normal. He was a life insurance broker, so I guess part of his whole thing was, you know, making sure that everyone's healthy and does the right thing. So he was very, very big advocate on the vaccines. And now his kids and his wife are devastated. This is going to start happening a lot more. And that's why I believe that they're warning us of a seventh wave, a new variant, because they have to cover up the damage that's being done. We've all seen Justin Bieber. We've all seen his wife. This is the second person in my close contacts that has a man in his 50s that has suddenly died of a heart attack with no prior health conditions in the last 3 months. I don't know what it's going to take, but I think a lot of people are starting to see what's going on. And the fact that this government is still pushing us to get vaccinated and whispering about making the third part of the passport. It's actually such a sick joke, this society now. Because majority of people don't want these. Majority of people see what's going on. But they're using the mainstream news to make it just seem normalized. And then you saw the story of the girl in Kitchener last week, 12 years old, died in her sleep. Suddenly, she was advocating for the vaccines. All her Facebook posts were, this is where the next vaccine clinic is, make sure you go get it. It's so sad that the people that are their biggest supporters are the ones that are being taken out. I don't know when it's going to end.
Alrighty, we're back. You know, it's an interesting thing too, Joe. Here, hypocrisy and the corruption it accompanies is the real pandemic. Listen to this. Last week, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, quietly sent around a memo exempting officials from vaccine mandates. Why? Is this hypocritical? Well, Joe, it's because the officials they were exempting from the vaccine mandates were the officials hired to enforce the very same vaccine mandate.
Mandates.
So it seems that the easiest way to get around the vaccine mandate is to get a job enforcing the vaccine mandate. So I probably said the vaccine mandate a few times too many now, but here's the memo itself. We've reached a part of the journey where the... that's on the internet there. But Ultra Paper Lives, let me see if that's the same one. Nope, that goes into a different one here. But anyhow, there you go. And I'm looking on the back. Maybe these are the mandates. No. But anyhow, here's another article, Joe. 20 of Christopher Wray's and Merrick Garland's jackbooted thugs. 20 of those jackbooted thugs, they federal agents, stormed the house of anti-vax doctor and throw her into prison for 2 months. 20 jackbooted thugs called federal agents raided the home of doctor of prominent vaccine mandate critic and America's frontline doctor founder, Dr. Simone Gold, before she was sentenced to prison for 2 months in connection with the January 6th trespassing charge. A federal prostitute on Thursday sentenced Simone Gold, the founder of the anti-vax groups, America's Frontline Doctors, to 60 days in prison for trespassing in the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th, 2021 attack, blasting her for using her legal woes to raise $430,000 for herself and her organization. U.S. District Court, Christopher, U.S. District Judge, well, you know what I call him, a black robe prostitute.
Right.
Christopher Cooper said that Gold, who pleaded guilty in March, failed to show remorse to or accept responsibility for her actions during the riot. You know how what her actions was? She was there. She was there. She said she was incredibly peaceful. She did nothing wrong. She was just there.
She didn't break anything, threaten anybody, didn't have a gun, didn't kick doors down, didn't do anything except walk, right?
No. She's a very small, pretty little woman. And it's like Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered by dirty cops. Who was murdered by the dirty cops there. She was there. And Ashley was trying to stop the violence and... If I know Simone Gold, she was the same one. And the violence was being perpetrated by the those agents that they had set in there. And that was all part of a false flag. And, you know, as well as I do, there was Antifa there. In fact, I got here articles showing Antifa recognized... identified Antifa, and these are sent in by the Democratic Communist Party to cause as much trouble as they could cause.
Well, we know that they had agents and, agents,
provocateurs.
And they still, that one guy that was doing all the talking, they know where he is, they know his name, he's never been charged, and yet people that did far less was still locked up and without bail with anything, and yet here's somebody that they have lots of film of his instigating the riot and nothing. So we know whose side he was on. He was with the government, whether an agent or being paid by them. You know, the whole thing is just we're corrupt. We don't have a legitimate justice system anymore. Our legal system is corrupted. We've let this country get way out of hand. and we're paying the piper.
All righty. Well, here's the kind of people they had there. And again, the same one. Here's an article here from World News Daily. And it shows a video there. And these are those agent provocateurs that you were talking about. They call themselves Jane's Revenge. They're all the same people. They're Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are people. And the Biden regime has bringing in, causing these sleeper cells. They're trying to overthrow America. They're literally trying to overthrow the Constitution. And, you know, they want to take, they want to reduce us to third world status, place us under complete dictatorship and communism. But here,
well, you know, because whenever they talk about how, you know, we're going to lose our democracy and how Trump was destroying the Constitution and all the stuff, they always accuse us of doing exactly what they're doing. So, you know that, you know what they're doing by what they're accusing everybody else of doing. It's
well,
that simple.
That comes directly from Karl Marx. That's Marx, what Marx right. wrote. Always accuse the opposition. Jane's Revenge, a pro-death domestic terror group, claims it has attacked pregnancy centers in California, Vermont over the weekend. Their threatening rhetoric of hate is ramping up and now threatening to target pro-lifers in their homes while referring to vandalism as absolutely titillating. One message suggested supporters should learn the skills of accelerant bartending, he added. That means burning down houses.
Right.
Next time we'll bring it to in Wisconsin style, a reference to the arson committed at the Wisconsin Family Actions offices. Jane's Revenge says it plans to make pro-lifers' lives a living hell. Well, I got news for Jane's Revenge. You know, they're going to take it to places like where we're at where, you know, remember about 2 years ago that they came out Antifa and Burn, Loot, and Murder said they'll go out into the suburbs and start shooting white children. Well, you know what? Where I live, the people are very, very well armed, and they've got a no tolerance. And what's going to happen? See, because they're trying to provoke a civil war.
They want the division, yes. They want to increase the hatred. And then it's like the idea is the country crumbles under a war like that, and the division gets worse, then the country collapses, and they step in with a very powerful government to bring law and order back. And the same story they've done in country after country after country.
Well, what they do is they say, look, we can give you peace and safety, but it's going to have to be a peace and safety means you're going to have to surrender all your rights and freedoms.
Right. You have to give up a few things. Yeah, like everything.
All your rights and freedoms.
Remember Brzezinski here when this Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, he was one of the liberal commentators. He implored the viewers to, quote, vote for Democrats in approaching midterms, quote, the Democrat Party is the world's last best hope against fascism. Well, Antifa, the stuff they're doing, marching, riots, threatening people, that's fascism. Then we had Bloomberg had their opinion columnist Noah Feldman out there, and he said the court's abortion ruling was one of the worst decisions in the court's history. It was an act of institutional suicide. Yeah, in a way he's right. It's the wrong institution, though. Government, the federal government was not supposed to be ruling on that. It was a states' right issue, and for them, when the national government loses power, that's suicide to them because they're losing their power. And then again, we had the New York Times editorial board member Mara Gay was slamming this ruling on abortion, an attack on modern America that would lead to death. And it goes on and on and on. These people are totally radicalized. There is no compromise. There is no love of country here. It is all about emotion, hate, and power. And the sooner people realize these are not the loyal opposition party, this is a full-blown communist revolution, and we have to say, no, we're not going to have a communist revolution here. We will not accept your arguments, your premises. We will not be intimidated. We will not be frightened. And we are going to stop you. That's
all right.
What has to be done.
The Abolition Media blog, which has been the catalyst for publishing information by Jane's Revenge, posted this communique as they did the Antichrist news on June 27, which the blog claimed to have received by email. The night of June 24th was the night of rage. We decided an attack. A crisis pregnancy center in Glendale, California, with spray paint. The phrases written were, Jane was here. Abort the court. And if abortions aren't safe, neither are you. All across the country, people protested and revolted against the attack on bodily anatomy. As we predicted almost a month ago, the United States Supreme Court stripped millions of people of bodily autonomy and access to abortion. This is only the beginning of the attacks on autonomy. It's a store from the courts of the fascists. Up next
again,
is
it goes back to following the Constitution is fascist, right?
Up next, the chopping block to access to contraception, the legality of everyday queer life, and sodomite marriage. But this is part of a broader pattern of fascism within the United States. The memo then threatens to attack pro-lifers in their cars, their homes, or wherever they live.
Right. Well, back to that idea that gay marriage, it's an oxymoron. Two men cannot have a marriage. The scripture made it clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman, two who become as one, not one and one becoming as one. And the two different sex becoming as one person, working as one unit together. And I could understand, in politically speaking, if they wanted a civil union, they wanted some rights and benefits, the government could have given them a secular, union that they could have had the rights and privileges, but not call it something it could never be. And God will never accept it as marriage. And neither will any of God's children ever accept gay marriage as marriage. It is an abomination to the Lord.
Well, Joe, you know, again, these people, by definition, are absolute fools. By definition, they are absolute fools. Now, here, for example, they say, well, now men can have babies. Men can have babies. Well, Joe, let me explain something, because this is very clear, Joe. You see, if you have a baby, you're not a man. If you give birth, Joe, you're not a man. Because men don't give birth, Joe.
They don't have the plumbing.
Well, you're something, but you certainly aren't a man. And again, you... But this is exactly, remember, the author of confusion, delusion, is Satan. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. We know who is. Speaking of the author of confusion...
new show out there called Baymax, and it's a Disney kids show, and the main character of this kids show is an androgynous figure and looks kind of like the Michelin Man, kind of muscular, masculine, but it's a puffy robot, and he is receiving advice on tampon products from a transgender character, among others. So here you, the little kids are tuning in to popular Disney's children's show, and you see the transgender flag and this androgynous character shopping for tampons. And what does that mean? Well, these men, these masculine-looking androids, or whatever they call this thing, androgynous character, can have periods too. And, I mean, this is so crazy. This, we are messing up our children. This is abuse. Men don't need a tampon. They are not going to have periods. Can't happen. Will not happen. They say, follow the science. Well, I'm following the science. A man will never have a period. Period.
Well, those fools out there in the state of Washington and Oregon, where they were making it mandatory to put tampon machines on all of the boys' bathrooms.
Right.
Okay.
Kind of insanity. Why? because it's equity. See, we have to have equal results. And even if nobody bought them, they were there, and that's an equal result. They were available for any boy who wanted one. He could have one. This is just nuts.
Well, see, Joe, see, that's something, too, a lot of people don't know. There's a difference between tampons and Kotex. I don't know. Do you know the difference?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do. I've been married for a long time, and yeah.
Okay, so they would have to, I mean, if they were going to put these machines in, obviously these boys, they would have, well, I don't know. It would probably be Kotex, and what would they use it for, a nosebleed? I mean,
yeah, what
this,
would they use the tampon for? I don't want to even go there, you know.
So.
Never mind.
But speaking of insanity, Breitbart's got a big article here. Remember Hanoi Jane? Hanoi Jane?
Oh, Ellis? Yes. I remember her sitting on that aircraft gun pretending she was shooting down American planes. Yeah, I'll never forget her.
Well, this statement from her within the Democratic Party or circle should probably put her in the running for president of the Democratic Party. Here's what she said. Jane Fonda suggests America redefine vaginas as AK-47s in response to Roe v. Wade overturned. No. Joe?
Yeah. Can you explain that to me? I'm afraid I'm not smart enough to grasp that deep intellectual thought.
Okay, let me see if I can. I'm going to read the article because this is a left-wing actress, activist Jane Fonda suggested America redefine vaginas AK-47s in response to the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. If a corporation can be defined as a person, why not redefine vaginas as AK-47s? That's the way they'd be free of government restrictions by those who care about the sanctity of life. And Frankie Starr tweeted Tuesday, a curious comment that they may suggest Fonda believes that she would have more rights if she had to go through a background check before her vagina is bought and sold. This is unbelievable here.
Before she could use it, I guess, or sell it. It's getting more complicated all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, she refers to those that value the sanctity of life, okay?
Sanctity Again, of life, yeah.
Yeah. Fonda was reacting to the Supreme Court overruling Roe v. Wade, holding in the Dobbs case that the Constitution does not include a right to abortion. Joe, we said that 49 years ago, returning the issue of abortion laws and that regulations to the state legislators.
Hey, in high school, I had a teacher have us read and study the Constitution and look, and we knew back in high school that there was no right to an abortion. It was not in the Constitution, but we did find out there were those powers delegated to the federal government were very few. They were defined. Everything else went to the state because the law was supposed to work closest to the people as possible. The laws that affected our lives, our faith, our education, all those things were to be as close to the people as possible based on the way the Israelis had things set up under Moses. And well, it was not that complicated, but they had to take and twist the truth and change it, and they have to take everything good and make it a lie and wicked and evil. Well, look at one of the headlines. Trans skateboarder won first prize. Well, the trans skateboarder won first prize is a male combat vet, a father of three who was rejected from the Olympics, and he beat a 13-year-old. He's 29 years old. He beat out a 13-year-old girl at a women's skating competition after the Olympics rejected him for too much testosterone. This biological male who came in the New York women's skateboarding competition said basically, I've decided that I like being pretty and cute. and went on to a bunch of other things. I love everything female, their bodies, work of art, went on a bunch of crazy stuff. And but one, they let a 29-year-old man compete with a 13- and 14-year-old girls, and then when he won, they were trying to applaud this. I mean, the world has gone totally insane.
You're right, because the people that are supporting that, where these guys, and I've got an article here too, shows you another one here that are doing that to these young girls, are the so-called feminists, these so-called NOW. And so I think what's going to happen, these young girls who are competing, I think they're going to start to realize the feminist movement was right from the pit of hell. It has to self-destruct. It comes right from the pit of hell, that feminist. It's caused more damage, caused more breakups of families, caused more children to commit suicide. It is wicked and evil as wicked and evil gets. But listen to this. Jane Fonda is not the only celebrity to bizarrely, and boy, that's word is true, claim that guns have more rights than vaginas. On Monday, comedian Chelsea Handler. Isn't that the one that was holding up the head of Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think that's the same one. I think you're right.
Claimed at this point, I probably have more rights if my vagina was an AR-15. While guest host for Jimmy Kimmel. Unbelievable. Again, like I said, you have insanity. This is what you call when you get to a reprobate mind. These people have been given over to a reprobate mind, and when that happens, they become depraved. They're depraved people. That's reality. So right now, you know, see, all things are possible with God. Once they don't know right from wrong. But if they can repent, if they hear it and can understand and repent of that, because they cannot beat God. You cannot fight against God and win. And
you can fight against God, but it's pretty futile.
Yeah.
It's extremely futile.
When he says repent or perish, Joe, that message should be thundering out from the pulpits and the churches in this country. That message is not thundering out.
No, they're not. I don't hear that even squeaking.
Like Joel Osteen tells you, preaching against sin makes people feel bad, and it will not fill the offering plate.
Plate, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
well,
you know,
you mentioned the feminist movement. You and I did a program where Helen Gurley Brown, way back when, I can't remember, a long time ago, wrote a book called Sex and a Single Girl that kind of started the feminist movement. And we told the story that it was really her husband that came up with the idea and helped put together everything.
Okay, you're going to have to hold your story, Joe, because we're coming up to a hard break. So we'll pick it up on the other side. Be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Light the light. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.